Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Pulse of St. Louis.
Welcome to the Pulse of St. Louis. I'm Shirley Washington. Tonight, we take a closer look at children from the Gateway City area, some as young as five, who are entrepreneurs. But first, April is Donate Life Month, an opportunity to raise awareness about the need for organ donations. Joining me now, Jane Beckman, she is an organ donor. Dr. Krista Lentine, she is Director of Living Donation and a physician with SLU Care and SSM Health, St. Louis University Hospital. And Cody Woolley, she is a nurse, a registered nurse, and a living donor coordinator at SSM Health, St. Louis University Hospital. Thank you all so much for being here. I appreciate it. Jane, let's start with you. Giving the gift of life, donating an organ is one of the most significant, most cherished gifts one can give to another. You did that. You donated a kidney to a stranger.
To a stranger, I did.
What made you decide to do that?
Well, Shirley, I was at this point in my life, a really good point in my life, and I looked around and so many people my family, so blessed, lucky, and it's just the hand you're dealt in life, right? I mean, so many things, people with kidney disease, they don't deserve that or ask for it or did something wrong. It's just the hand you're dealt. And when I looked around and saw the hand that I've been dealt, my family, my kids, it was just all good. So I thought, you know, we're all just traveling through life together. We're all on this journey together. If you can reach back and help somebody else, help give somebody else a break. I've had so many breaks. So I thought, if I can help somebody, then that's what I think we should do. I think if we all just help somebody else, whether it's something like this or however, I was in a place in my life, got a great job with the St. Louis Crisis Nursery, lots of support from my family and people at work. And then I called SSM Health Transplant Services and it, I don't wanna say it could not have been easier, but it could not have been easier for
me.
I mean, it was surgery, it's real surgery and there's recovery, but as far as donating it, I'll go on and on some more, but they did an amazing job. But for me,
you did an amazing job too, young lady.
What?
I mean, and to donate, it's one thing to donate to someone you know,
yeah,
but to donate to a stranger,
yeah,
to me, is incredible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you read about this gentleman's story, or how did this come about?
Well, I was reading a paper one day, and there was a story in there about another guy who needed a kidney. So he put on a T-shirt that said, "I need a kidney," and he walked around Disney World. And then another guy saw the shirt and thought, well, heck, I could do that. And he called it, long story short, he gave a kidney to a stranger. So I'm reading the paper and I thought, huh, I bet I could do that.
Just like that?
Just like that. And I got up and I called St. Louis U, talked to Cody about an hour later. And sure enough, I could do that. And not everybody can, but I could.
And you did.
And I did.
Wow.
I did.
Doctor, how great is the need in St. Louis for kidney donors?
Yes, so Donate Life Month really gives us an important opportunity to raise awareness of the burden of kidney disease and the need for organ transplants. Currently, there are 100,000 persons on the waiting list for a kidney transplant across the country, and this includes 1,500 patients in the state of Missouri. Last year, there were 14,000 deceased donor transplants, which was a milestone, but not enough to meet that need. Again, 100,000 persons waiting. So living donor transplantation can help bridge that gap between the need and the available organs. And really notably, among transplant options, living donor transplant for the recipient is the best for a number of reasons. It does the best job of restoring patients to health because these organs tend to work better and to last longer.
So what actually causes kidney disease?
Well, there are great variety of causes, but the most common causes across the country are high blood pressure and diabetes.
Is there any way to prevent it?
Well, we certainly advocate for awareness of kidney disease for folks getting their kidney function checked and their blood pressure checked. Early detection can be important for lifestyle interventions to control blood pressure, to control weight. But once it reaches the point of kidney failure, then the treatment options are dialysis or transplant. It's fortunate that we have a dialysis that can be life-sustaining, but it's really an inferior option compared to transplant. It just cannot replace the work of a functioning kidney.
Yeah. Cody Jane says, you know, she's reading the article in the paper and says, I can do that. And then she called you and said, oh, this is so easy. Really? Is the process that easy? Walk me through the process. What's it like? Cody's like, no.
So I talked to her over the phone, and we did a quick, brief health screen. Does she have diabetes? You know, does she have high blood pressure? Things like that. Is she healthy? Is she up to date with her routine cancer screenings?
And so this is the same process. These are the same questions that you would ask anyone who is considering being a donor.
I would.
Yeah.
And then once she passed through that stage, we were able to get her into our center and do some blood work. And that led to some imaging, which led to more imaging.
So how long was the process from the moment she picked up the phone to call to the moment you discovered she's a match for this gentleman?
It took about 4 months to get her through the whole process. But it doesn't have to take that long.
So why did it take so long in her case?
Well, she had a few things that weren't 100% easy.
Oh, okay.
Well,
okay.
I mean, from a test standpoint.
Right.
Yes.
And this is the other thing I want to say. Every concern they had was for me. Their number one concern was that I was going to be okay. I mean, Jack, the guy who's got my kidney down in Arkansas, he had problems, issue concerns, and we're hoping he does better. But their concern was for my health, to make sure that when I came out on the other side, I was going to be as good as I could possibly be. So all these tests, all these questions, the blood pressure was a touch high, and then 24-hour blood pressure screening, and all of that, the CAT scan, the MRI, the, I called it nuclear blood thing, whatever, they've got better words than I do, but but all of these were to keep track of me and make sure, because if there was any questions or problems, they wouldn't let me do it.
Right, absolutely. And so, when did you do it?
It'll be, May 30th will be 1 year. So
wow.
May 30th a year ago.
And how are you doing?
Doing great. 3 months after I donated, I ran a 5K. And 6 months after I donated, I ran a half marathon.
Look at you, bionic woman.
That is awesome.
Now tell me about Jack, the donor recipient.
Well, Cody knows him better than I do.
So what was his situation?
Well, he had a spouse who wanted to donate to him. Unfortunately, she was not the right blood type. So she went through the process, just like Jane did, to make sure that she was healthy enough to donate, and she passed. And then we added her to a registry where we look for people in the same situation, where we can sort of facilitate a swap. It's called paired donation. And we waited, and we thought we had a match from California. Things fell through. It was very disappointing for the family.
So what was his situation before the actual surgery? I mean, was he on dialysis?
He was on dialysis.
Yeah.
For 2 years.
And his dad had had kidney disease, and he had died of it.
Oh, wow.
So Jack and Jennifer, they knew how this story ends. They knew what the end game is if he doesn't get a transplant. When she stepped up and said she would be willing to donate, and that's one thing that I learned, is that even if you're not a match, if you know somebody needs a kidney but you're not a direct match for them, the way they do it now, you can still help them. You can get them up on the list and get them a kidney sooner. That's what Jennifer
did. Can we talk about that
Jack
a little more, Doctor?
Yes, and what Cody explained. So that's a really important point. So kidney donation began actually with identical twins and then it expanded to related persons. We've learned with modern immunosuppression that you don't have to be related to have a successful donation and transplant. But there's a concept of biologic compatibility, which briefly means that the donor's blood type is compatible with the recipient and that the recipient doesn't have preformed antibodies. So sometimes someone comes forward, I may want to help my spouse, but I'm not be biologically compatible. It's important to not discourage those people from stepping forward, because now programs can perform these types of swaps or exchanges and create compatible combinations and make transplant happen. So you can still help a loved one, help a friend, even help a stranger by participating in these exchanges.
That's amazing. And Jane, you had an opportunity to meet your donor recipient.
I did.
What was that like for you to meet him?
It was really amazing. Now, Jack is a man of few words. He's a quiet guy. Now, Jennifer, she came into my room. This was the day after I donated.
This is his wife.
Jennifer's the wife, and she had just given a kidney, too. So she came into my room, lots of hugs and crying and tears. And then we both went into Jack's room. And like I said, Jack's a quiet guy. And so I had to point out to him that I said, Jack, you know you got lady parts in you now, don't you? And he laughed.
And I'm sure he says, as long as they work.
That's Jack there. He's a very quiet guy. But I've talked to Jennifer. There's Jennifer. Do Facebook and stuff, and she said Jack can now get down on the floor and play with the grandkids. He couldn't used to do that before. I told Jack, I said, you're going to have to teach those grandkids how to go fishing now. That's what grandpas do. And so it was very touching. They're such a nice couple, and 2-3 kids, 4-5 grandkids.
How rewarding is it for you to look at the pictures and to know that you made a difference in someone's life?
It is.
That's huge.
It does feel good. It does feel good, especially when I think about Jack on the floor with his grandkids, and who knows what information lessons he'll teach them, and they'll teach their kids, and he's there to help them, and he's there to teach them, and he's there to support his own kids. Because I took 2 weeks out of my life. I was in the hospital 2 days, 48 hours. I was off work for 2 weeks, and then I got to not pick up a bag of dog food for 2 months, and that was it. I mean, it was really, I tell you what, Shirley, it was easier than having a C-section, because you don't have to get up and feed a crying baby every 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, people are taking care of you. So, and I know it's not the same for everybody. I know
Absolutely.
Other people, but all I can say is the team and Dr. Varma, my surgeon, they're the best. At St. Louis University SSM Health Transplant, these people know what they're doing, and they watched out for me. I felt so good the whole time that their job, you know, besides saving lives, taking out kidneys, blah, 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 is to watch out for me and make sure that I'm going to be okay. And so if anybody has any thoughts of doing it, all you can do is start and ask. And if it's not right, they'll tell you it's not right. But at least you're trying. At least we're all trying to help somebody else out. I mean, I just got so many breaks in my life. And other people, I mean, there's a high blood pressure and diabetes, but there's diseases too that come down from generation to generation where whole families have kidney problems.
Yeah.
So again, you just want to help folks out when you can do it, especially in these days. You just want to be nice.
Awesome. Cody, real quickly, someone's listening and they want to at least inquire about being a donor. Real quickly, what should they do?
Please call the center. We are SSM. St. Louis University Hospital, and our phone number is 314-577-8867. We'll do a quick screen over the phone, send you out a packet, have you do a health questionnaire, send it back to us, and then see if we can get you in.
Doctor, this is a good thing.
This is a good thing, and just my final message would be to, for patients suffering with kidney failure, to not be afraid to share their story. It's very difficult to ask for an organ donor, but you don't really need to ask. Just, you know, being open about your disease, saying that you have a need, often people will come forward to help that you may not expect.
Good point. Thank you all so much for being here. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You're so proud.
All right, stay with us. When we come back, we are going to tell you about some young entrepreneurs, as young as 5, that are competing for scholarships and prizes. Stay with us, back in a moment.
To hear more, listen to the podcast. Just search for The Pulse of St. Louis.
And welcome back to The Pulse of St. Louis. You know, children as young as 5 years of age are pitching their best business and product ideas for a chance to win scholarships and prizes. Joining me now, Lisa Litvig. She's co-founder of Explore, and Joanna Reed, director of special events with SLM Media Group. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
This is pretty cool.
Thank you.
This is pretty exciting.
Yes,
Absolutely. Yeah. So tell me about this.
So it's a pitch competition. It's the first of its kind in St. Louis. And essentially what we're doing is a Shark Tank for kids. It's more
nice.
Of a guppy tank.
Yeah, guppy tank. I like that.
It's you know, it's a gentler approach, and we certainly are not soul crushing or dream crushing, but we want to bring kids together to pitch their ideas.
Yeah.
I think what we discovered is after talking is that, you know, we all have business ideas at younger than 5 years old. you're having lemonade stands, you're delivering papers, you're walking the dogs in the neighborhood.
Right. So you're babysitting kids as you get closer to the age 13. Yeah. Yes.
Juana, that is pretty impressive, though, to think that five-year-olds are coming up with business plans.
Absolutely.
And product ideas. Yes. And they're getting some support, obviously, right? Talk about that.
Correct. They're going to get supports from mom and dad and teachers and mentors to really help them bring these ideas to light. But if you think about it, the whole purpose of us doing this was, if there's a problem that you're having in your life, figure out a way to solve it and create this great innovation around it. Kids have problems as early as that age. For example, if you're having a hard time organizing your room, create a tool to help you, you know, remind you to do that and so forth. So that's what it's all about. It's getting them at a young age.
And then, so who are they pitching to? Is there a panel or?
Correct. So they're going to pitch to a panel of judges. We have a lot of great local entrepreneurs that have agreed to participate as judges in this event. For example, we have Judy Syndicus, who is part of Capital Innovators. In addition to that, we have Tim Spiegelglass. He is the owner of Spiegelglass Construction. And we have Tom Pernikoff, who owns TuneSpeak. So we have a lot of great local business owners that have joined forces with us to create a panel of amazing judges.
That is awesome. And Lisa, you said this is sort of like Shark Tank.
Yes.
But on a lower level.
On a much gentler level. Yes, yes. No, again, the intention really was to encourage and give our kids an opportunity to get in front of an audience and talk about their ideas. So the idea came from our own experience pitching to Shark Tank. So my business partner and I went on a open casting call for Shark Tank and did a much similar exercise through a speed round and then went to the final to actually be on Shark Tank. So that was kind of it kind of got our wheels turning of, you know, couldn't we do something similar to this, but maybe make it more kid focused? And again, you know, we have children. We all have children here. And, you know, our kids are begging us to have businesses every other day. Is it warm enough for a lemonade stand? Is it, you know, can I go to the next door and walk their dog?
So tell me about the process, because you know what the process was like for Shark Tank.
Right.
In fact, just give me a hint of what that was like for you being on Shark Tank.
It was nerve-wracking. We actually did not make it onto the program. We went through the casting, and the first round was nerve-wracking. We had no idea what to expect, and we had to go pitch our company in front of these judges who we really didn't know. And so it was very nerve-wracking. So we want to kind of take that piece out of this for the kids, because we know that's a lot of pressure. So really what we have developed is a much gentler approach. Mm-hmm. We have students that are going to be with them mentoring. Kids from Parkway Spark and kids from Wash U are going to come down and help us with mentoring and help the kids kind of develop their pitch a little bit. And then, you know, really we've encouraged our judges. This is about encouragement and how do we help them further discover their business need and, you know, further develop their business needs.
So, Juana, these children are going to be developing business plans for their pitch. They're going to be developing plans for products.
Correct.
For their pitch. So tell me a little bit more about that, because I find that so fascinating.
So it's similar to Shark Tank, but as Lisa mentioned earlier, more like Guppy in the sense that you don't have to have a product that's already ready to go to market. It can just be in its foundational stages where you came up with this great idea and you're looking to get it off the ground and you've done some brainstorming with mom and dad. So it's really those early stages. And one of the things I also wanted to mention was,
So what is the age range from 5 to?
5 to 13.
5 to 13. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
That's a critical stage.
I know, right?
Oh, yes. And I would think that a program like this would actually motivate and inspire critical thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. And problem solving. I mean, that was one of the things that it was very important to us as we started our own business. We identified a need and we said, okay, there's a need in the community for this business. And then we took that and we developed our solution. So really that's what we want these kids doing, is figure out a need. To Joanna's earlier point, we have one guy who figured out a very specific need around organization, and he developed a product to answer that need and developed a solution around it. So there's stuff like that that I think our kids are obviously capable of and interested in doing. So this is what it's about.
And so, Juana, these kids are competing for scholarships and prizes. Tell me about that.
So they're, as you mentioned, they're competing for scholarships and prizes. We've received some amazing prizes from the community, and we have great sponsors helping back the scholarships. So from Commerce Bank to the Steinberg Group and in Sperry. So we have a lot of great organizations involved that have really helped provide scholarships and prizes for the kids that day.
So are they going to be timed? I mean, are they really going to be under the clock?
Yes.
Because usually when you make a pitch, it's usually like a minute.
Yes. So we want them to start small because we know that, I mean, it's my biggest fear, speaking in front of people. In most people, that's their biggest fear. So, you know, we're recommending between 30 seconds and 2 minutes for that first initial round. And then the final rounds, they're going to have up to 5 minutes to pitch their products. So, but it's up to. And this is including questions from judges and questions that come up. So this is in no way meant to create fear of public speaking.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's more about, let's do it really fast because, honestly, we can all overtalk everything. And really, you only need 30 seconds to tell what you're doing.
To pitch your best idea.
Yeah, I know, right? And as someone who's been on Shark Tank, talk about what you think it takes to become a successful business owner or to have a successful product.
Well, so it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of just being dedicated to it and really believing in your product or your business, knowing that you're really solving for something. You know, one of the things, you know, that I discovered really quickly about being an entrepreneur, I came from the corporate world, and becoming an entrepreneur was about passion, and it really was about believing in what you were doing to keep you going and to continue innovating your product or your service. You know, I knew that I wanted people to be happy with what I was doing. So that encouraged me to continue to make it better. And I think that that's what it takes to be an entrepreneur.
And then how do you handle challenges, Joanna?
Challenges.
Every entrepreneur will tell you there were challenges along the way.
I would say be backed by a great group of mentors that helps you navigate those challenges because challenges are inevitable. But it's all about how you finesse and get through those that makes a difference at the end of the day and just steady the course.
Mm-hmm. And so these children will have mentors, right? You mentioned that.
Yes.
So there'll be mentors that day from Washington University as well as Parkway South. So they'll, or Parkway Spark program. Mm-hmm. So they have a great opportunity to speak to the mentors prior to the pitch competition on the 13th, which will kind of get their wheel spinning and they'll get to ask some questions and it'll just get them really prepared for pitch day.
What a learning experience. I mean, that's pretty unique. Yeah. I mean, do you wish you had that kind of experience, Lisa, before you went on Shark Tank?
Are you kidding me? Absolutely. You know, we have great people that were speaking on April 6th that, you know, Maxine Clark, Talia Goldfarb actually was on Shark Tank and got a deal from Damon.
Wow.
So she's speaking and, you know, and we have Karen Newmark who does Sweetology and she's, you know, she's a wonderful entrepreneur around St. Louis. So we have all these really great people that are telling the kids how to do it. And it's almost like a blueprint I didn't have. I wish I would have had this at 5.
And I'm sure that made it a little tougher because you didn't have that blueprint, right?
No.
But sometimes it's good to chart your own course too, and chart your own path and figure it all out. I mean,
it is. But we've gone a step.
But
we've gone a step further just to make sure the kiddos are prepared the day. And actually, we provided the parents with here are the things we're going to be looking for as we were going through the judging process to kind of ease some of that distress, like that Lisa and Angela had while they were pitching Shark Tank. Yeah. So we've given them definitely the blueprint for what to expect, so that they're fully prepared for pitch day.
And so, what should you be looking for, or what will you be looking for?
So it's more so identifying your why, why you create the product, what problem are you solving, and what do you hope to achieve long term.
Creativity.
Yeah.
Really being able to articulate the idea, you know, and just
have
fun.
Yes.
We want them to have fun.
Yes.
You know, that was one thing that people kept saying to us is, how are you going to make this fun? And we're like, it's just going to be fun because we're there and we believe in this. We really believe in this.
So. All right, got to take a break. Stay with us. Back in a moment. Welcome back. So I'm sure you're dying to know when is this event taking place. So Lisa, fill us in.
It's on April 13th, and it's at the Donald Danforth Plant and Science Center in Creve Coeur. So it'll start at around 8:30. And I think what's important to note is that kids will be competing with their own age groups. So we have 5 to 7, 8 to 10.
In 11 to 13.
11 to 13. So really we wanted to make sure that the kids were with their own peers.
Right.
And the initial speed rounds will only be in front of two judges.
Nice.
So, and then Joanna, you could
Is there a fee to participate?
It's absolutely free to attend. We're accepting applications all the way up until Sunday, the 7th at 11:59 p.m. So parents, you still have time to get your applications in. Yes.
And how do they submit an application?
You can actually go through Eventbrite. It's all under Eventbrite under Kidspreneur. It's only a 2-page application. It's really simple, and most of the questions are just demographic information as far as your name and what product or what problem you're solving. So very straightforward application process.
Nice. Well, thank you guys so much for being here, and good luck.
Okay, it sounds like
so much fun.
And
come watch it.
Yes.
Well, I wish I could. I'll see.
Okay.
All right. And thank you for joining us for The Pulse of St. Louis. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, download The Pulse of St. Louis podcast in the iTunes or Google Play stores. And for News 24/7, download the free Fox 2 and News 11 apps. I'll see you next time.